This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Just touching on different parts of the continent this morning. So a question rather on how Ghana and Nigeria police handle domestic violence cases. So we've done the SADC region, we've done East Africa, and we're moving towards West Africa this morning, and how Ghana and Nigeria police handle domestic violence cases. And Dr. Abena Yaeli is a currently postdoctoral researcher in the University of Constance, Germany, and she holds a PhD in gender studies from the University of Ibadan, Nigeria, and has over 7 years of extensive research on gender issues. She writes on domestic violence in Ghana and Nigeria since the 1970s feminist movement for the support of abused women under essentially the call battered women's movement, and the struggle against domestic violence has continued since. So we're just trying to understand a couple of sort of pointers that have come from this particular research, as well as the situation in Ghana and Nigeria with regards to how police handle domestic violence cases. You remember we had the conversation some time ago last year around sex for grades, and how it was prevalent in Ghana and Nigeria for young women to be lured into corners of giving sex for grades, and how certain professors have been part and parcel of this particular process, and there are the perpetrators essentially. And it's interesting that we speak to Dr. Abena this morning on exactly how police handle domestic violence cases in Ghana and Nigeria. Dr. Abena, Dr. Yaeli, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yes, the pleasure is mine.
Dr. Abena, let's just zoom into your studies and, you know, what gave encouragement for this particular study to happen. Has it been by way of some of the cases that you have been able to observe outside of a research front in the last couple of years?
Okay, so my research actually is motivated by my own experiences whilst working with an NGO in Ghana called the Women in Development in Africa. And what we basically try to do is try to handle cases of domestic violence. But when I started my PhD, I realized that there was a gap between how police handle domestic violence and how the NGOs try to mediate issues of domestic violence. And there was no really concrete research on that. So I decided to actually investigate into the issue to find out what was going on. Also because the domestic violence bills were passed in Ghana and in Nigeria, and the police were the main agencies responsible for handling cases of domestic violence. So it was really good to actually know what goes on and whether the laws are actually being adhered to. So this was basically my motivation.
Now, your research also speaks or stems on the Special Domestic Violence Unit that has been set up in Nigeria and Ghana. What have you found about this particular special unit?
Yeah, so this particular unit, in terms of policies, or in terms of laws, they are within the Nigeria and the Ghana Police Service to handle domestic violence. But in actual fact, what happens is that these police officers are not officially trained to handle domestic violence cases. So you can imagine when they are only trained on handling guns, and then after the training, there is a situation or a unit where they have to deal with an issue they were never trained on. So there is this kind of gap and lots of challenges with how the police handle the cases. And this kind of is much more detrimental to the women and also to the community by the time you put all these things together.
Dr. Abena, we've seen more recently the movement in SARS, which was really around the disbanding of the special anti-robbery squad in Nigeria. What you're describing to me with this particular special unit is similar themes that were shared by people who called for the disbanding of SARS, that is, once again, the special anti-robbery squad. Are we seeing a general problem with the training that's happening with law enforcement agencies in Nigeria, particularly the police force and the special units coming from police force, in terms of how they handle cases of humanity in general?
Yes. I would say to a large extent, the training of the police is number one problematic. And then also, the training or the police itself, majority of the police officers themselves do not go into any intellectual training of that sense. So the approach for dealing with crime is much more on the aggressive side. And this is the same way they handle domestic violence cases. So it's much more also on the aggressive side. So you have lots of confrontations against victims and lots of blaming of victims and abuse of the rights of these victims. So it kind of goes hand in hand. And then, of course, there is the political aspect of it, which has to do with the government, the use of the of these policemen or these police officers for, you know, government interests, you know, where politicians use them, and then so they have this kind of power. And these powers are not really questioned and they are not defined. So you have a police officer having an absolute power to do whatever he or she wants to do. And there is no oversight that also checks on that checks on the attitude, and there is no accountability. So a police officer can do whatever he or she feels like doing, and there's no accountability, you know, of holding them responsible for whatever crime or injustice that they do to the public.
And in your article, you also mentioned the culture of a masculinized police force. What are we referring to there, Dr. Abena?
Yes, when we talk about masculinity, masculinity is a social construct where an individual assumes a masculine personality. And for example, there are good and bad sides of masculinity. But in terms of hegemonic masculinity, it's a toxic one, which are characterized by aggression, the use of force, and domination. And so the police organization itself is a masculine organization in the sense that it is an organization that puts much emphasis on being a man and acting in an aggressive manner. So, and if we look at the statistics of women in policing, we can see that women are less represented in policing. As a matter of fact, until recently, women were not really recruited into the police force. So you can see from this analysis that the history of policing itself is kind of masculinized. So it's an institution mainly for men in that sense. So, and when we try to link its functions, you can see that the functions that the police operate, they are kind of, it demands lots of strength, aggression, use of force, the handling of arms, and et cetera. So it's a masculinized institution. So that is what we mean by masculinized institution in that sense.
Dr. Abena, let's continue with the conversation just after our news.
It is exactly 5:05. Many would be holding up candles as a way of manifestation at this time. And we're still in conversation with Dr. Abena. And we're looking at how Ghana and Nigeria police handle domestic violence cases. And Dr. Abena, thank you for sharing your insight with us. You also note that there has to be, or there's somewhat of a link between low reporting of violence and how police handle these kinds of cases. Have you been able to identify the exact link there?
Yes. In terms of low handling, the lower rate of reporting cases to police, it is directly linked to how victims experience policing. So, for instance, when in my research, a huge number of people, about 60%, after having gone to the police and reported their cases, the experiences they got from the police discouraged them from coming back. I found out through later interviews or feedback that I got from these victims. And you can see when one person discourages or feels bad after reporting her case to the police, she has a network of women, and she talks to them about her own experiences. Mm. And then these women, from this her own experience, it gives them the same impression that, okay, if my friend went to the police station and then she didn't have a good treatment, then why do I bother myself to go? So it increases the culture of silence, because the women do not get exactly what they are supposed to get from law enforcement agencies. So this played out a lot, and about 60% of the victims that I interviewed or whom I studied refused to go back to the police after their first interactions.
Dr. Abena, and just out of curiosity, and I'm looking at particularly the region in which this, this is the case. I know there'll be instances in, the southern part of Africa as well, and similar instances where, domestic violence cases are handled in a particular way. I often share my story of how I could not go report a matter at a police station in Tanzania because of how I was dressed, for example. And that brings me to the question that, are there cultural nuances that perpetuate this particular behavior by the police towards, victims of violence, victims of domestic violence in particular?
Yes, when we discuss issues about domestic violence, the whole society has a certain culture, For instance, in Ghana and also in Nigeria, It is kind of forbidden to actually take your family case to the police, because it is seen as the police institution is seen as a government institution, And for the family, taking your personal case to the police, society itself frowns on it. Mm. And when I spoke with police officers, for instance, one time I went to the police station and then I did not tell the first police man that I met that I am a researcher. And then the next question he asked me was, you have come to report your husband and I am telling you I'm a police officer. This is not the right thing to do. Mm. I want you to go back home and settle your issue. So you can see that. From there, you can see that the police itself is not really alienated from the society or the societal perspectives of domestic violence. So they still, in a way, believe that a woman is not supposed to come to the police station. The same way the society has the same culture of silence, surrounding experiences of abuse. And these are, of course, much more inflamed in some sense, by the kind of experiences that the these women also have with the police.
Now, Dr. Abena, yourself, you are one of the researchers that are doing research in this particular field. We have seen the NSARS movement, which also highlighted on the inadequacies and some of the forms and ways of violence that can be instituted by police force as well as special units onto the public. Based on this research, based on these particular occurrences, are we seeing a change in training of law enforcement, or are we anticipating a change of law enforcement agencies in West Africa? And I don't want to just close this into Nigeria and Ghana. I would believe similar instances occur in Togo and the likes. Are we anticipating a change in training of law enforcement agencies and sensitivity as well?
Yes, I do not know what to say, basically because this is not the first time that there have been lots of agitations about how police handle civilians or police brutalities on civilians. And obviously it points us to one thing, that there is the need to change the tenants or the police institution in Africa as a whole. And this comes also down to whether our political our politicians and our governments are willing to, you know, do that. Because the police of course act as an entity, but to a large extent they act in favor of the government power and politicians, you know. So we definitely need a change, and that change must be drastic. The Nigeria government, for instance, tried to, you know, dissolve SARS, but at the end of the day, what he brought out was not really different from SARS. And there have been lots of discussions going on in Nigeria. There is a gender policy, even within the Nigeria police force, but it comes down to implementation. So it's not only because we do not have laws, but that we do have these laws, but they are not implemented. So definitely we really need a drastic reformation in that sense of security institutions, not only the police, but also the military and the navy and all that. And this is because they have so much power. And when there are power inequalities and one group of people have more power against the others, then there's the abuse of power. And that is what we are witnessing in our society.
Absolutely. Dr. Abena, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Absolutely appreciate all the research insights that you've shared with us this morning. That's Dr. Abena Yeli there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.